This is Japanese greeting to the afternoon. Okay, this morning my son suggested me saying in Korean because he knows my English. But I'm kind of person who challenged to do something difficult. That's why I'm trying to speak in English this morning. First of all, I'd like to say how grateful I am to Cornerstone Church. Actually, without your support, I cannot survive and I cannot minister in Japan. As you know, these days, Japanese yen is going up and up. This morning, I found $1 is 77 point some yen. But when I first went to Japan, $1 was 126 yen. So one senior pastor told me that if you spend your dollar from the U.S., you can do a lot of work in Japan. But nowadays, I cannot agree with him because dollar is rising highly a lot. So I'm so grateful to you all because I know you are my partners in prayer and finance. That's why and how I can do minister to Japanese students. And this morning, I brought some good news to you all, especially to young generation here in this church. Because I'm working among college students. Although I am looking forward to my 60s, not yet, but I'm soon become my 60s. Though I'm spending my time with college students, sometimes I wrestle with them, sometimes I play soccer with them. And a few years ago, I could earn 2 goals in soccer game. Anyway, but I'd like to start with the Word of God, Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, from verse 1 to 9. And these verses are from the Lord when I was praying for Japanese college student in the early year of, in the early of this year. Okay, let me read the Bible verse. Mine is NASB. I don't know what version you have. Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 1 through 9. Now, on the same occasion, there was some present who reported to him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. And Jesus said to them, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were greater sinners than all other Galileans, because they suffered this fate? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or do you suppose that those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them were worse culprit than all the men who live in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And he began telling this parable. A man had a fig tree which had been planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it, and did not find any. And he said to the vineyard keeper, "Behold, for 3 years I have come to looking for fruit on this fig tree, without finding any. Cut it down. Why does it even use up the ground?" And he answered and said to him, "Let it alone, sir, for this year too, until I dig around it and put in fertilizer. And if it bears fruit next year, fine. But if not, cut it down." Amen. This is the Word of God that I want to share this morning, or this afternoon. Okay, many of you remember, this is the 10th decade anniversary of 9/11. But you know, 6 months ago, more severe tragedy happened in Japan. So many were killed by tsunami and earthquake. And right before I went to Japan, year 2005, December 2005, there was another big tsunami in Southeast Asia. At that time, 300,000 people were lost. But this time in Japan, 30,000 were dead or missing. So same tragic things happened this year. So many people were questioning about how come that kind of thing happened to Japan or in people's life, or why and how that kind of tragic incident happened to America 10 years ago. I wonder how many of you are suffering from losing someone all of a sudden. And if any one of you are seeking the reason or answer to that kind of incident. In the Bible, today's passage tells us that people are curious about that kind of thing. And people around Jesus were asking, well, how come this kind of thing could happen to them? But Jesus, our Lord, said to them, unless you don't repent, the same thing can happen to you. So we can learn from Jesus about that kind of incident. You know, according to our Lord, that kind of thing is our opportunity to look back ourselves and repent and receive God's grace. You know, when that tsunami hit Japan Island, the missionary organization that I belong to had kind of big rally. We had National College Student Conference. So we gathered in Tokyo, and we spent that week in Tokyo while the rumor of radiation leak was severe. So many gave up to join that conference. But there are more than 100 students, Japanese students gathered to learn the Word of God and to know what to do in that kind of situation. And one night, some Korean missionary gathered in the same place and had a chance to talk about that incident, that digester. One young step and who lived in Japan for a long while said that because God so loved Japanese and he allowed this kind of incident, this kind of disaster, tsunami and earthquake and nuclear leak in Japan. Through this, Japanese people can come back to God. When he said this, another missionary objected him. He said, oh no, I don't believe so. Our God cannot be like that. Our God is not the God who bring many life to death like that, through the tragic death. So one of their kind of argument between them, and I was with them, and I listened to them carefully, but I couldn't give them my answer. Anyway, at that time, what I meditated was the Word of God. Without God's permittance, nothing can happen, especially that kind of tragic thing through which many life was being snatched by the tsunami. More than around 30,000 lives were swept away at that time. That kind of thing cannot happen without God's knowing or without God's allowance. So, in my meditation, if God knows this kind of thing happening or happened in Japan, what kind of heart God should have at that time, at that moment? So, I prayed, in my prayer, God talked to me. He knows this kind of thing. And he has been doing his work in Japan. So later on, what I found was, actually he was doing his work in Japan to save many souls. This morning, I'd like to share what God has done through Tsunami and through my ministry, and thanks to your support. Okay, and this passage also said that without repentance, you might go through that kind of thing. It could be your chance to look back yourself and repent and receive God's grace. And the other parables, the next later passage, let you know that you might have misunderstanding of God through the first parable, first passage. Through the first passage, God revokes, God urges us to repent. Jesus let us know that that kind of incident could become our chance to repent, call to repent. So, through that tragic incident, God called us to repent. That God is kind of angry God or wild God, or you don't want to be with Him if God is like that. So you might have that kind of misunderstanding. That's why Jesus continued that parable. If you are careful about that parable and the conversation between Jesus and His disciple, you can realize what kind of God we are believing. Who is our God? You know, through the parables, according to Jesus' parables, there were vineyards, and the owner planted a fig tree in the vineyard, and he wanted fruit from that fig tree for 3 years, but he got nothing. So in the fourth year, he came to the vineyard, the vine dresser or the vineyard keeper, tell him to cut that tree down, because for 3 years he get any fruit. He couldn't get any fruit from the tree. But the vineyard keeper said that, please leave it one more year, and I will dig around it and fertilize the trees. Then next year it might bear fruit. Then it's fine. The vineyard keeper was persuading the owner of the vineyard. You know, the heart of vineyard keeper is the heart that God has for each one of us. Although we don't know how to repent and how to bear the right fruit before God, God is patient. God is long-suffering to put up with us. And then He allows us to bear fruit to the end. So that heart, the vine dresser has, is the heart of God, the heart for Japanese people. Okay, then let me now share what God is doing in Japan. Can I start? Okay, Kyoto is where I am now and working. And Kyoto is known as Japan's millennium capital, at the Japan of Japan. And especially this morning, I saw many young people singing and worshiping God together. Especially young people I address to come help change Kyoto with the gospel, and you can change all of Japan. Next, the map of Japan, the nation of rising sun. known as unchanged. Japan is not changing. In the past 100 years, the statistics of Japanese Christians are below 1%. Only 0.4% of Japanese are Protestant Christian right now. And most of the nationwide Japan is unreached. Go to next. Before I came to the stage, I found a statistic from a journal which was published by JEMA, Japan Evangelical Mission Association. According to the statistics, they divided four segments. They divided Japan into four segments, and according to that statistics, number one is mega city, and the other one is urban area, and the other is rural, and the last one is isolated area. Turn to the next. And look at the map, and you'll find it is covered with yellow color, which means yellow color and green color, they are the area with no church. In that yellow and green area, there is no single church. And the pink area is mega city, where more than 1 million population there. But only in that pink and red area, more than 1% of population are Christian. Most of Japan are no church area. So you can say Japan is an unreached country. Okay, turn to the next one. And in that country, as you know, earthquake and tsunami and radiation leak occurred. And threefold disaster has come to Japan. Turn to next. And in that area, I had a chance to visit for disaster relief volunteer work for 1 week. And what I found was threefold blessing from threefold disaster in that area. Look at that picture. Number one is the one who received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior during the volunteer work, and whose name is Nankumo. Then Nankumo is one of the volunteers whom I met through those weeks. And he is from other prefecture, and he was kind of cook, but he stopped his work and came to that area for relief work. And after 20-minute talk with him, he decided to receive Christ in his life. And then he left on Saturday. And the other guy, the next one is Hashimoto. He was the driver who gave us a ride from the volunteer center to the project place. But we were sent to many places to help people in that area. And he has many times gave us a ride with his van. Because although he lived there, he didn't get any damage from earthquake or tsunami. So he decided to become volunteer by giving ride to volunteers. And I had good chat with him when I was in his van. And later on, he also decided to invite Christ in his life as his Lord and Savior. And when I invited him to the church, which was in that area, and he joined our Sunday service, and the pastor welcomed him, and they had a good chance to talk to each other and to know each other at that time. And the church has been a center for volunteers from other areas of Japan. And the church was so active to help many people in the area. But I couldn't stay. When I was there, I couldn't work with that church because the pastor of the church was so tired in helping volunteers and people there. But what I found was, you know, threefold disaster turned into threefold blessings. A threefold disaster is earthquake and tsunami and radiation leak. But threefold blessing, the first blessing was people's heart. People's heart, they had hunger and thirst for God. They became hungry to God, to know God. While I was there, I had many chances to talk with the volunteers from other prefectures of Japan. Most of them were paying good attention to me and to other Christian volunteers, to why they are there, why they volunteer to help people there. And the Christians were eager to share why they are there, to tell why they are there and what Christ has done for them. And then many people could receive Christ in their life through their sharing. So many saved souls I could see. I saw God saving many people there through that kind of incident. And then the third one is the church. Church became very active in that area. Not only in that area, in whole Japan. Christian church has good fame. People in Japan recognize the church as church is a good place for the people. So they respect Christians. But still, there are only 0.4 populations of Protestant Christians. And in my ministry, I could also experience God's blessing through that threefold disaster. The last picture, right-hand side, that is Nishigawa Taiki-kun. He has been a member of my Bible study on the campus of Rich American University, but he didn't receive Christ yet. But he is almost Christian, but he didn't make decision to receive Christ yet. But when that disaster happened to Japan, he made decision to go there earlier than anyone in Kyoto. He stopped his school and stayed there for a week. But before his departure for volunteer work, he visited a Christian church twice. And after he finished his volunteer work, he came back to the church and reported. That's why I'm saying that he is almost Christian. He's not Christian, but he's studying the Bible with me. He made decision yet. He didn't make decision yet. But you know, when he was in that area as volunteer, his dad visited him and helped him, who lived in Tokyo area. Through the conversation with his dad, he found that his dad was baptized in his college times because he met American missionary and studied the Bible in English together, and he invited Christ in his life and was baptized. But he didn't attend in any church, and his son Nishigawa never knew that he became Christian and he was baptized. What he found was at that time. So he was really surprised at that story. And I believe he was challenged now and to receive Christ in his life.
Please remember Nishigawa Taiki-kun in your prayer, and please ask God to give him strength and courage to invite in his life. Okay, turn to the next one. Okay, you know, that kind of tragic incident could change people's heart and could Japanese heart. They are returning to God. But now I'm working in Kyoto, and Kyoto is known as the Millennium Capital of Japan. Let me share what's happening there through my ministry. And then I'm challenging young people to come and help change Kyoto with the gospel, and you can change the whole Japan. Yeah, Kyoto is full of old shrines, temples, and palaces. If you go some beautiful area, you can find, you cannot miss that kind of thing in that area. And the gold, Kingakuji and Kingakuji, gold temple and silver temple. One of the most famous Buddhist temple is. And if you look at that pictures, you can figure out what Kyoto is like. In Kyoto, they have the updated modern technology and science. And they have traditional art and surrounded with beautiful nature. The most wonderful season of Kyoto is April and November. I encourage you to visit Kyoto in those seasons. But don't come to summer for sightseeing, but come for summer mission trip for young generation. The summertime is the worst season in Kyoto. Okay, let's okay, it is statistics of Kyoto. In Kyoto, there are almost 2,000 shrines and 3,000 Buddhist temples, and Christian churches are 122. And others are 502. You know, 120 churches in Kyoto mean a lot. As I said, I had shown before, the map on the map, Kyoto is colored as pink and red. It is a mega city, and more than 1% of Kyoto. I'm not sure, but there are many churches. And most of the churches are Catholic church, because a long time ago there were many martyrs of Catholic people in Kyoto. So Protestant churches, the average members of churches is between 20 and 30. So Cornerstone Church is much bigger than any church in Kyoto. There are some big churches in Kyoto also, but Cornerstone Church is quite a bigger church in Kyoto. Okay, turn to the next one. You know, if you come to see Kyoto, you can find out there are many, many universities and colleges in Kyoto. And so I just typed as college town or capital of universities, it is Kyoto. And if you type in Google Map, then you can see the red dot, red point, that means that is a college. Look at that dot centered in one where mountains surround it. You know, where the red dots are centered is Kyoto. From the west side to east side, you can ride the bicycle for an hour. So on that street, there are many colleges and universities. So if you come to see the Kyoto, you can find it is full of young generation. So the main colleges in Kyoto are Ichimeikan and Toshisha and Kyoto University. The biggest one is Kyoto University, where many Nobel Prize winner came out of that college. Turn back to other, okay. And each American, the top one, which is the main target campus that I'm working on. And many mission team came to that campus and shared the gospel. And many students received Christ through their ministry. And the second right one is Doshisha. In Doshisha University, if you visit there, especially for Korean people, you can find the wonderful picture in that university. Because there were many famous Korean students, and they became Christian while they were studying in that college. One of them is Lee Soo-jung. Lee Soo-jung is the first Protestant Christian who was baptized when he became Christian, thanks to Japanese scholar whose name is Suda. Suda-san no okage de. So that Lee Soo-jung translated and revised Mark's Gospel, the Mark's Gospel. And he gave that translation to Underwood and Apongela, who was the missionary to Korea at that time. So we owed a lot to Japanese Christian and Japanese church. Okay, turn to next one. And the CCC, Campus Crusade, now recently we have changed the name, Crew. Crew has five main components of our ministry. One of them is student-led movement. Our ministry should be done by the leadership, with the leadership of students. So we help students to build up their leadership and build up their movement in college. Okay, next one. They are our team members. You know, let me share what's happening in Kyoto through our ministry. You know, as I wrote in my prayer letter, I focused on personal evangelism and personal ministry. If anyone who received Christ through my witnessing, I try to help them grow in their faith and knowledge of God. It is what I have been doing since I joined as full-time staff of Campus Crusade. But in Japan, I must change my strategy or ministry policy because I had kind of difficulty in keeping doing like that. Because Japanese are very insecure when they found themselves alone or, how can I say, in personal base, they are very insecure. So they feel uncomfortable. It is what I found through my ministry. I try to share the gospel personally to more than a few hundred students. And through my witnessing, more than 25% of students prayed with me to invite Christ in their life. But what I found was most of them leaving. They are not staying. All of a sudden, I cannot have any contact with them. So I was frustrated and disappointed a lot. I wondered what's going on in my ministry and in their lives. I couldn't get any answer because I couldn't get any contact with them. So I prayed to God, "Oh God, what do you want me to do? What's going on here?" After I lost all of my students who received Christ through my witnessing. And then all of a sudden, I got an email from one student who became a friend of mine through Chicago KCCC's summer mission, whose name was Nanase. And Nanase emailed me to come to her university and teach them the Bible. And she organized a group of people to study the Bible together, because she heard that her professor taught them, if you really want to know what's going on in the world, you must read the Bible. The professor's name is Yukio, Okamoto Yukio, who was worked for the embassy, the Japanese embassy in many countries. And he was teaching students of International Relations Department of Regional American University. And he suggested students reading, studying the Bible, if they really want to know what's going on in the world. So she was challenged with his word, and she organized a group of people to study Bible together and called me. So I could, you know, at that time I was, you can imagine how joyful and how happy I was. You know, through her email, I started my Bible study group on that campus. And that Bible study lasts for more than a year. Still, I'm meeting them. And Nishigawa Taiki-kun, he is one of the group, one of the members. And he volunteered to go to that busiest area. When I met that group, God told me, here in Japan, I should meet Japanese students as a group, not a personal base. So I tried to share the gospel personally, but my ministry should be done as a group base. If I cannot make a group on campus, my ministry cannot be effective. It is what I learned. So I prayed to God, oh God, my wife and I did our best, but many received Christ and many invited Christ's youth as their Lord and Savior, but I couldn't follow up them. So now I need kind of community where Japanese students can join and feel safe and secure. So through that community, they can learn what Christianity is, how they could grow in their knowledge of God, and how to follow and how to work with God. So when I prayed, God sent people who really are dedicated to God and God's work. In the picture, the right two are me and my wife, and the middle one is the first lady who came to Kyoto as full-time missionary for 2 years. Now she is in Kyoto, whose name is Ryu Eun-young from Seoul, Korea. The other, the second from the left. Is Yun Nai, who is a student leader of Korean Campus Crusade for Christ. She dedicated her life to Kyoto ministry for an year, and she came this April. And another, the one on the left hand, is the lady is professor of Kyoto Prefecture University, Kyoto Furichi University. And my wife led Bible study group with her for an year. She made decision to become associate staff member of Campus Crusade to help us there. And then in this month, if I return to Kyoto, I should welcome to another stint from Korea. God is making a group in Kyoto. God allow us to have community in Kyoto, thanks to the answer to our prayer. So right now, I'm focusing on facilitating that community in Kyoto. So how we can invite Japanese students to join us to have dinner and Bible study together. Okay, next photo. Okay, it is the ministry done by Chicago KCCC Summer Mission Team. You know, they are, there's one Chinese student and five of them are Korean Americans. And Chinese and Korean American, when they came to Kyoto, they became kind of magnetic. So all Japanese students gathered to them and tried to speak their English with them. So if you come to Japan, and especially come to the college, you can meet lots of students like them. And they are leading English lunchtime. During lunchtime, they are teaching English. And if you found some good friend through that kind of English conversation time, you can invite them to Sunday service. Many of them join that service. Next. And we took a picture after the Sunday service. There were lots of new Japanese students joined through summer mission team. And next. Now look at that picture. We had a mini concert in the nearby church. And the pastor, the right side, the white church on the right side, he is the pastor, a 70-year-old pastor. And he said he never seen 40 students gathered in his church. It is his first time to see 40 college students gathered in his church. You know, that's why I'm saying you can become magnetic to Japanese students. They will come to you and try to speak to you in their English. And the other team came to Kyoto this summer, the Cheongju KCCC from Korea. And they, thanks to Hallyu in English, how can I say, it's Korean stream. But in thanks to Hallyu, they brought many Korean food, like such as misgaru, and bibimbap, ramen, Korean ramen. And then they made instant ramen and shared it with students on campus and became friends. And then they invite them to Korean night, and where they can share their testimony and their presentation to them. And then I preached evangelist message to them. And one of Japanese youth students received Christ through that Korean night. And through this summer mission, last summer, five new Japanese students prayed to invite Christ in their lives. God is working in Kyoto. And this kind of thing is happening in Japan right now. As I said before, especially Kyoto is full of college students. And if you come to Kyoto, you can make many good friends who want to speak in English. And you can invite them to Silicon Valley and this church. You know, Japanese are very rich, and they are fond of traveling to other countries. These days, you know, 100 yen is more than dollar. So they can make good money with Japanese yen. So they really like to go other countries. So they spend lots of time and money their vacation. So if you come to Kyoto and make friends and invite them to Bay Area, you can help them in this church. And you can help them to know God better and more through your fellowship like that. So my challenge is, please come to Kyoto with the gospel. then you can see how God is using you. Okay, finally, thanks to your prayerful support, we will see the kingdom of God coming down to Kyoto and Japan. You know, I said how grateful I am and how thankful I am to you because thanks to your support, I could work in Japan. Okay, my conclusion is God is patient God. You know, the parable, according to Jesus' parable, leave the tree one more year. Leave the tree one more year, then I will deep and fertilize one more time. And then that tree will bear fruit. It's fine. It is the heart of vineyard keeper. Actually, our Lord Jesus Christ. He came to save us for his compassion and his patience. Still he is patient with Japanese people. So because God is patient with Japanese people, I should be patient. I'll be there. Please remember us in your prayer and join me and pioneer Kyoto ministry with me. Especially college students, come and see what's going on in Japan. Thank you for your paying attention to me and again, your prayerful support. May God's blessings be with you all. Okay, the next thing is prayer and worship.
We'd like to pray for Japan at this time. Actually, can I get a raise of hands? Has anyone been to Japan before? I think there are a few of us. Okay. Oh, a number of you guys. I want to go to Japan, actually. I've heard a lot of things about Japan. But right now, let's pray for Japan. 10 years ago, when 9/11 hit, I heard so many statistics that the Sunday right after 9/11, because 9/11 happened on a Tuesday, I still remember, the church attendance grew up so much on that following Sunday. And so many churches and so many people came to church seeking an answer and seeking Jesus Christ. I don't know if all the churches really made most of that time, because I heard just a couple weeks later the church attendance went back down to normal. And I believe the same kind of opportunity is happening in Japan as well. With the tsunami, I know we as a church made an offering for them as well. But I would like to pray for Japan right now. So right now, let's pray for three things. First, let's pray for any friends or any Japanese co-workers or any family members that you might know who are Japanese. Let's pray that they will come to know Jesus Christ and that they will be salt and light as the Japanese to the Japanese people. Second, let's pray for Pastor Kim. As he is there, and he is our missionary who we pray for and who we support every week. And he's, you know, we don't put his name, but we always have the prayer request on our bulletin. Let's pray for our Pastor Kim. So let's pray for him right now that through this time here, that he will really be strengthened, that he will be a light in Japan. And lastly, let's pray for the country of Japan. We have some Japanese members in our church as well. But let's really pray that Japan will come to know Jesus Christ. As we have heard, it is an unreached nation, and less than 1% are Christian. And we cannot even fathom what it would feel like for us to live there. Because for us, we live in a country that is founded on God's Word. And we live in a country with so many churches that churches just become just a habit, just a schedule on our lives. But let's pray for Japan, that Japan will come back and come to know Jesus Christ. So let's pray for those three things, and then we'll close in worship. Let's pray. Savior, you can move the mountain.